called Amen, So Be It. And today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the subject of the posture of amen, the posture of amen. My heart and the heart of the leadership, the pastors here at Harvest, is that we, as we go through this series together, that every person would hear clearly from God, that you would hear him, that there would be a direct encounter with Christ, and that the Holy Spirit will bring understanding and help as we apply what we will read together, what we will hear, and what we will experience, and that all of us in some way, shape, or form will have grown, and it will be noticeable growth. Something where we can look back and we see where God stepped in and there has been a significant change in our lives. The dictionary definition for amen is this right here. I think it's coming up on the screen for you. It's this right. It's amen is something uttered at the end of a prayer or hymn, meaning so be it. Now, the crazy thing is in the dictionary is they kind of get it right because in the Hebrew, it is so be it. In fact, in the Greek where it's translated as so be it. But it's deeper than that. Because if we're not careful, the dictionary can make it almost sound like it really doesn't hold the power that it truly does. So the posture of amen. I want to open up. I was like, God, give me a scripture that I believe will just kind of open this up, that will show us a scripture that specifically talks about the posture of amen. And it comes out of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah, you guys, this is where I'm going to do this really quickly in a nutshell. God makes a way for the children of Israel to be released from captivity. He sends them back to Jerusalem to a torn down, broken down city and gives them the ability and the chance and the opportunity to rebuild the city walls. We know that during that time that the enemy tried everything that they could to stop the building of those walls. And we get to chapter 8, and here is the posture of amen. And it starts with verse 1. And it says, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra, the scribe, stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. And Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. Here's the posture. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. And then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, amen, amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That is the posture of amen. The word amen really is an incredible word because it was translated directly from Hebrew into Greek of the New Testament. In fact, when Paul took the word amen to the Greeks, they didn't have a way to even translate it. So they just adopted the word. Then it was transliterated to Latin and into English and many other languages so that practically amen became a universal word. I don't know if you guys know this, but amen worldwide is actually a more known word than the word hallelujah. I remember some of you know my testimony, and I, when I was really trying to commit my life to Christ, there was my place of work was full of all kinds of temptations. And I knew for me that I knew God was saying, I have another place where you can work. I will take care of you. And I decided I want to do this just so that I can continue my relationship with Christ. And I used to be a lifeguard for a few years at Wet n Wild in Arlington, Texas. At the time, it was the largest water park in the world. But it was for me to move on with Christ, I knew I needed to make a change. So about 3 months later, I was at McDonald's, probably a couple miles from my house in Arlington, and I walked through the doors to get something to eat, and I hear three guys go, Stuart! And I turned around, and it was three of my buddies that used to be lifeguards as well, and they ran up to me and bro-hugged me, and we're just saying hi and all this, and immediately, right out of the gate, one of them goes, hey, man, I hear you're trying to become a monk. you know, and I went, no, and I kind of laughed, and then the other guy immediately goes, hallelujah, amen, he starts dancing around McDonald's. You know, guys, we had a little bit of a laugh with it and everything, but inside, it really made, it was for the first time that I saw where somebody was using amen to mock faith. Not the power or the posture of amen, but more of to mock. And it showed me also that even those who don't believe, who will say that they know, or let me say it this way. You'll say, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah, yeah. But at the same time, they really don't believe. They use amen and hallelujah in a way that is not full of power. You see, the dictionary says it's uttered at the end of a prayer or a hymn. It makes amen sound more like an etiquette. You see, etiquette defined, it is a customary code, polite behavior in society or among members of a particular profession or group. Let me give you a few things on etiquette. How many, there might be some of us in here that at your family table, elbows are not allowed on the table, okay? That's an etiquette. Did you know that golf is full of etiquettes? For instance, if you're in a foursome and somebody in your foursome gets a birdie and the rest of you get pars, the guy with the birdie gets, the etiquette is that he gets to tee off first at the next hole. We also know that in golf, in the backswing, you don't talk in somebody's backswing unless you're at Topgolf. And then you can just talk all you want. But out on the golf course, it's not good etiquette. And then there's the one that actually causes all kinds of drama, and that is when somebody is getting ready to putt, that they have a line that they're looking at, and the etiquette is you do not step in that putter's line. Guys, did you know that when I was younger, I used to play so much golf that as soon as church was over, we were in our cars going to play 18, and we would get in all kinds of things, playing with my buddies and whatever, and there was something we would do to just aggravate each other. I would see my buddy, and I would see his putt line, and I would act like I didn't know, and I would walk right into the middle of his putt line. Guys, we wrestled so much in golf that it was just crazy. It would cause all kinds of fights and ruckus and all that. Did you know that there's etiquette in air travel? How many of you have been sitting in a chair in your plane or in your seat in a plane and you feel somebody grab the back of your seat just to get up? You can be out sleep, you can be out cold and somebody grabs the back of your seat so that they can get up out of their own seat. Whereas the etiquette is that I'm going to get up and I'm going to use my seat to get up so that I'm not pulling on somebody else's. Did anybody learn something here this morning? All right, you know what I'm saying? There's some etiquette all over the place. Amen is not a religious form of etiquette. Amen is not just a word used so that Christians can eat. Did you know I almost get congratulated by people now in restaurants when we see our family, somebody will walk by and say, oh, it's so good to see people praying for their meal still. It's almost like we're getting congratulated for it, but it's not just that etiquette. Amen is power. Everybody say power. It is power. Amen is a God-given word to help us draw even closer to Him. Amen, believe it or not, helps us to better understand who He is. And I want you to let that stay in your mind a little bit because I'm going to come back to that. That actually saying the word amen helps us understand better who He is. In John 3:3, there's a conversation that's going down a little bit between a man named Nicodemus and Jesus. And in this conversation, you know, Nicodemus has asked a question. We're going to get to that question, but listen to Jesus' response. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what I want you to pay attention to is verily, verily, because in the Greek, that is amen, amen. You see, in the Hebrew, amen can be so be it, it can be verily, truly, and yes. At the end of a prayer or discourse or proclamation of faith, it is amen, so be it, or so it is, or yes. Everybody say yes. It is as for you to say what you are believing for is going to happen. If it's an amen before the prayer, or a discourse or a statement of faith, as you begin to proclaim something, amen means this is a trustworthy saying. This is firm. This is built on faith, that this is truth, that you saying yes to the promises and his truth. If you go back to that same scripture in John 3:3, look at this in the New American Standard Bible. It says, truly, truly, I say to you. Even though that's a different translation, truly, truly, as we've just heard in the Hebrew and Greek, is that that is still amen and amen. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He had a lot of power, a lot of clout, but yet he knew something was different about Jesus. And if you look at this now in John 3:2, it says, this man came to Jesus, that's Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. You see, Nicodemus is recognizing Jesus in his power, but yet he still doesn't understand that he's talking to the Son of God. He doesn't understand that he's talking to God himself, but he knows something is different. Nicodemus has recognized that there is no way these miracles and these signs and wonders could or would be happening unless God was involved. Look at this same scripture in the Message. It makes it a little bit clearer. No one could do all the God-pointing or the God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it. Even Paul and the disciples, you know, they were teaching and sharing this fact about Jesus and the promises of God. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20. It says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it was, what's it say? Yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, what the scripture is saying is that no matter how many promises God will make, and he will make, and he has made, and they're in our Bible for us, they are all yes and amen in Jesus. Now, we know that in what we've just read in the definition of amen or the translation of amen, that yes is in the Greek and the Hebrew. 2 Corinthians 1:20, look at that same scripture in the New Living Testament. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Let's all say yes. Yes. That's a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. How about this way of saying it? It's not about the promise, it's about the promise giver. Isn't that good? Because here's the thing is that there are people where they are looking for truth in all other places outside of Christ, and there's going to be promises that will be made. Did you know that as mothers and fathers, we make promises to kids all the time, and sometimes we don't keep all of our promises. You know, and the kids, man, they'll remember that for the rest of their lives. Like, I can tell you, man, it just keeps coming back. But guys, listen, here's the thing is that in God, in the Word, it's not about the promise because, look, I mean, my goodness, I mean, you're talking about thousands of promises, but if God's not in on it, it's not going to happen. But if the promise is made by the promise giver, it is going to happen. Amen? God is in control of this. It is going to happen. God wants our posture. He wants our response to be, so be it in my life. That there is nothing more for you and me to do than to have the posture of amen, which is saying, God, I believe. It's not my efforts, it's his promise. It's not by my power, but by the power of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Let's give you some more. Colossians 1:17. Great scripture. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You see, amen helps us better understand who he is. Hebrews 1:3, look at this one. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in a place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. I believe this. This is a huge thing, you guys, because listen, you got to look at what this is saying, that he radiates, he expresses, that he sustains, he has power at his command, he cleansed us, and now he sits in a place of honor. I believe this. That's the difference in somebody that you can walk up and say, hey, do you believe in God? And they go, yeah, you know, but they don't believe this. They're not capturing this, and you need to believe this. It's a posture that you and I should be in, that I believe. And did you know in the Hebrew word for that really is aman, which is in the root word for amen. You see, aman is to believe. It's to have faith. It's to stand firm. I think about the scripture, you know, God has this conversation with Abram before he becomes Abraham. And he's talking to him about a son that is going to lead to descendants that will number the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And after everything is said and done, after everything looks impossible, and there's no way that this could happen, it says that he believed. Look at this in Genesis 15:6. And Abram believed, aman, the Lord. And because he believed, it says in Scripture, that the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. I want this type of posture when it comes to my faith, that no matter what my situation is looking like, that no matter how long it takes, even though it looks like the odds are against me, I will stand on this. How about the Hebrew word, emunah? Think about this. Look at the root of this in where it ties into amen, because you're going to hear similar translation here. Having a strong faith, steady, verily, truth. It's saying, I believe, that it confirms, that it supports. It's even described as being a pillar, something that holds something up strong, that is unshakable. You see, church, my faith, my amen, is so strong and sturdy that it causes my faith to believe. To believe, even when it doesn't look like it's going to happen, I still believe. I will stand strong in his promises, and I will lay hold of his word, and I will not let go. Now, hear what I'm saying about this, because it is hard to lay hold of God's word when things aren't happening to our timeline, or when they're not happening as fast as we think that they should be happening. And so what happens is we begin to try to do things on our own, and we're not relying on our faith anymore. You see, I'm saying, I am proclaiming, I am saying amen to this, that I am choosing to stand on the word of God, and I believe. I believe. I will stand strong in the promises that he has made, because in Jesus, it's yes. Everybody say yes. It is yes and amen. And this is my posture, the posture of amen. You know, if you look back at what we read in Nehemiah, you guys, check this out. The posture described in Nehemiah is that they did these things. They asked for the word of God. And this is very important, because I think more and more of us believers, when it comes to things in our lives, we need to start asking for God to give us a word. Amen? It's going to come through Scripture. It might come through him visiting you in a dream. You might just hear the Lord in your heart, and you know he's speaking to you, however that is. But they ask for it. They listen closely. Did you know sometimes as believers we need to shut up and actually listen to what God is trying to say to us? Come on, give me an amen. Come on, we're doing amen today anyway, so you might as well give me an amen. It said in the Scripture that when Ezra opened up the Word of God, it said that they immediately rose to their feet. That's posture. They shouted amen and amen. Hey, can we do that together? Let's shout that out. Amen and amen. Let's do it one more time. Amen and amen. Can you imagine hearing hundreds and thousands of Israeli children just sitting there shouting this, saying, yes, so be it. God, you will keep your promises. It says that they lifted their hands in praise and surrender, saying, God, see me. See me. I am ready. That they bowed down, that they worshiped the Lord and with their faces to the ground. That's the posture of true faith. That I believe that God is in control. That what God has said is true. God, that I want to be where you are. The posture of honor, respect, and relationship. God, you have said it. I believe what you said. So be it. I absolutely trust you. And this is going to happen. I'm going to tell you, man, oh, in some dark times, I have prayed, and the enemy is sitting there saying, it's just not going to happen. And as I work my way back into the light of who Christ is and what he said in the promise that he has given glory into myself, is it might not be happening to my timeline, but what he has said is that this is going to end well, and I believe that. Is everybody with me? So I'm trusting this. You see, amen is power. Everybody say power. It is breakthrough. It is claimed. I claim it. It's firm. It's done. Amen, amen, and amen. So how much power is in the word of amen? How can we truly understand the power behind the proclamation of amen? Is there a scripture that would actually make it more tangible for you and I to understand how much power and how it would help us understand who he is better? And it's actually found in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, this is what's going on. John is sitting there doing his best to write down what Jesus is saying to the angels of the churches. And when they get to Revelation 3:14, it says this right here. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Now, guys, I don't know if you captured what is in this scripture right here, but it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of who? The Amen. Did you know this is a descriptor? This is a name for Christ himself, because it goes on to say the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Are y'all capturing what's going on here? Is that when you're saying amen, when you proclaim amen, you are proclaiming Christ himself. So when you're talking about how much power is in amen, you're talking about the power of Christ himself. And that's the beautiful thing here. Check this out. In NLT, look at this version of it. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen. Isn't this great? He's saying, I am the Amen, that I am the yes. The message even makes it clearer. Look at this one right here in the message version. Write to Laodicea, to the angel of the church, God's yes. God's yes. The faithful and accurate witness, the first of God's creation. He is saying in these scriptures, what John is writing down is that Jesus is saying, I am the yes and I am the amen. Harvest, Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is the amen in the beginning and he is the amen in the end. Jesus is, he is yes. Everybody say yes. In the beginning and he is so be it at the end. And how do we know, how is it that we can know, do I have the posture of amen? Is our faith strong? Do we believe, is it really truth to us? And the first thought is this right here. Does the amen of your lips match the amen of your life? The posture of amen will challenge us no matter who you are. Because we can't just speak amen, we have to live amen. Living amen is a sacred rhythm that we are surrendering to his everythingness. You know, I asked this morning, is that actually a word? And somebody looked it up for me and said it is, so I'm glad, because I thought I'd made up a word. But guys, we are surrendering to his everythingness, his power, his wisdom, his strength, his promise, that he is all-knowing, that he is everywhere, and trust that he knows what he is doing. Let me say it this way. You are saying, God, you are sovereign. The result is a relationship with the one true living God, and it's so intense, and it's so liberating that it permeates everything in your life. It's going to affect people at your workplace. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your kids. It's going to affect your future because it's so a part of you. When we surrender to a life of so be it, our posture has changed. When our day starts with amen, our speech and our lives will display for everyone to see that I believe, that I truly do have faith, and it is a strong faith. I'm not fighting God. I'm saying yes to him. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. Can we put our hands together for the worship team? Let's just thank them. So the first thought was, and I've only got 2 points, but the first one was, does the amen of your lips match the amen of your life? And the second thought is this, that my posture, my position, and my proclamation must start and end with amen. Back in late April of this year, Pastor Brad walked into my office and he set down a book and he says, and he just kind of tapped on it and he says, I think this could be a potentially a good series for us. And I said, okay, thanks, man, you know, and everything. And so I'll be honest with you. I didn't look at it for really that entire month of May, and I think it was around the first week of June that I finally picked it up, and I saw the green sticker, the sticky note and everything, and I opened it up, and you guys, I got into reading it, and I started looking at it, what it was covering, and I was just blown away. And I went to his office. I said, dude, this is going to, and Pastor Brad allows me to call him dude, you know what I mean? So it was like dude, this is going to be an amazing thing. And so I started reading it. I started getting into it. And I was preparing for, and here's the thing is I'm preparing for a series for us as a church. But little did I know that this was going to begin to have great impact on my life. Because you know what I started doing as I started reading this book is that as unconsciously, I caught myself in the shower just going, amen, amen, amen. Guys, I would get up to go get some chips and some salsa, and I'd be walking into the kitchen going, amen. No, amen. I would hear myself saying it out loud. Something had changed. There was a posture change going on, but I didn't see it. I didn't understand why. And guys, wouldn't you know that as I get into this posture of amen and getting behind the power of what I'm proclaiming, that's when Lori and I get this bomb that gets dropped in our lives. And guys, here's the thing is that God had prepared me. And here's the thing, that no matter what the enemy tries to say or what the enemy is trying to do, I know that my God is still in control. I step into the posture of amen, that I believe this is truth, this is faith, it's firm. So be it. I'm saying yes to the promises of the Lord. And because he is the amen, that this is coming from the amen himself, that I know that I'm covered in his power. I'm covered in his calling. And that his promises are true and they will be fulfilled. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. There's something that happens here is that the children of Israel in Nehemiah, this posture and this position of praise, they began to understand the power behind asking for the word of God. Wanting to listen to what is God going to say, that you could shout with your own mouth and say, amen and amen. Or catch yourself in your car just driving to work and the words just come out because it's in your heart. That they lifted their heads, that they bowed down, that they worshiped the Lord, even on their faces to the ground. Can I just say this without anybody seeing this as judgment? I'm not talking to any individual person. But when is a man of God or a woman of God, when was the last time that you were on your knees before the Lord? When was the last time that you just lifted your hands and said, I don't know what else to do, so I do this? When was the last time that you were on your face before God just asking him for the things that seemed so impossible? Or just being on your face and thanking him for the goodness in your lives. It's a posture of amen. I'd say it this way. I don't want to just believe in God. I want to live a life that believes God. You see, we have a lot of people that say they believe in God, and we've got young, unmarried couples that are sleeping together before marriage. We have young men and women that are addicted to pornography, and they all say that they believe in God. We have marriages busting apart that say that they believe in God. There's all these things that we could keep naming things like this, but what it comes down to is I want to live a life that believes God, that I'm standing on His truth, that there has been a change in my posture, that I'm understanding now the power behind amen, that when I say it before or I say it after, there is power. I go back to Genesis 15:6. Look at this in the Message. This is Abram talking about Abram and this promise from God. And it says, and he believed. He's talking about Abram. He believed God, and God declared him set right with God. Can you imagine just being in the place in your relationship with Him that you believe Him so much and you have that type of relationship with Him that you are set right with God? I don't think there's anything greater that we could possibly have in our lives is just to know that we're good. Can I just say it that way? God, we're good, and I thank You. You are good, and we're good, and I'm so thankful for that. I want to close with this scripture found in Psalm 72:19. Praise His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Can we read this together? And at the end, let's just give this a really, really resounding amen and amen. Let's read this together. Praise His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Let's read that again, church. Let's read it again. Praise His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Come on. Amen. Yes, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Man, I look forward to testimonies of you guys being in line at Shake Shack and you just find yourself saying amen and amen. Come on. That is just a posture change. But let's all stand together. And we're going to go to the Lord real quickly. And I'm just going to open this up for a time between you and the Lord. And as the worship team is going to take us into worship. But I feel like it's important for some of us today. God has brought you here for a reason. You are here this Sunday to hear this message. And you're believing for something. You're praying for something. You're standing on something, and the enemy's been messing with you. Financially, you might be in trouble. There might be some things in your relationships that are not good. There might be something in your commitment to Christ that just needs a change, a posture change. And I'm going to pray. And when I get done praying, if you want to come down to the altar and just spend some time with the Lord, I would love to pray with you. There are those in our church that would love to pray with you. But God, thank You. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You for what You have said today. God, thank You for showing us in Scripture that Jesus is the Amen. Father, thank You for letting us know that there is power in what we say. Dear God, I just pray for anybody here this morning that has walked in here and they are facing something, or they're in the middle of something, or they can't quit doing something, or they need to start doing something, but Lord, they need Your help. For some, dear Lord, there could be that their faith has been shaken. They're having trouble believing. And God, I know that You are here. It's the reason why they heard this word today. I know what it has done for me already. And I'm just asking You, dear God, help them have the posture of amen. Help them change. Dear God, that it will be noticeable that, Lord, that You are bringing victory and promises completed in their lives. And we're going to give You all the praise. We're going to give You all the thanks. Help us to have that posture of the children of Israel. When Ezra would open up the word, that there were some with lifted hands. There were some that were shouting amen and amen. There were some on bended knees, and there were some on their faces before You because they wanted more of who You are. So Jesus, help us today. Give us your grace. Give us Your power. Give us the ability to say yes to You. And I ask this in your holy and precious name. And everybody said amen. We're going to go into worship. And as soon as William and the team begins to sing, please find a place down here to pray. And if not, just worship with the Lord. But I would love to pray with you guys. God bless you. Let's worship. Let's pray. Amen.